Faces, Heels, and Tweeners. Sunday night's main event proudly brings to you the East Coast podcasting champions of the world, Brad the Dad and Greg Father Feltham, your Smack Daddies.
Hello, friends, and welcome to your SmackDown review for Sunday night's main event. I am Brad the Dad, and riding shotgun with me is my tag team partner, Greg Father Feltham.
Bless you, my son.
I need all the blessings I can get, Greg. Damn cold.
You've had a bit of a week, my friend.
Yeah, so I had a great week up until Tuesday. So as you, I may have alluded to, my son, apparently I was the only one who was unaware that the Smack son is now known as the Mac son.
Okay. I'm curious to see where this is going and keeping it PG. So let's see how this goes.
I thought he was dumb. That was the whole thing. Maddie and I thought he was completely unaware that this girl and him had a little thing going on and that she was crushing on him. But apparently the crushing is going both ways.
I see.
This is why I went to the Valley and was forced to dance and went to a Kaylee.
Oh, yes, right. Yes, I heard all about that last week.
So that's pretty much it.
Uh-huh.
And then
uh-huh.
Tuesday, we're back at youth group.
Right.
The girls there. We have established the new McKinnon rule, which is you were allowed one joke about James's love life day.
Is that all? Like, that doesn't seem like enough.
Well, he can't take teasing very well. He can dish it out, yes. But he can't take it.
Gotcha. All right.
So Maddie and I said we should get one. And it's even better this way, Greg, because as the day goes on, he wonders when we're going to get them.
I see. All right. Fair.
So I start getting this, like, I can literally tell you, it's 7:35. We're in small group. I have to go and leave my small group to go get some water. And that doesn't happen. I just have this, like, tickle in my throat. So then I wake up the next day. Tickle is a little bit worse. I start feeling, I'm like a little off, but I'm like, I was like, okay, I haven't taken my allergy meds in 3 or 4 days. I'm out. I'll call the, I thought I was, so I realized that I must have missed 3 days, called my doc, got him refilled, have to wait until Friday, NBD. So I take something else to take the decongestion out, go to bed, wake up, right. Fine. I'm a little stuffed up, but you know, no allergy meds, windy day in Nova Scotia. Everything's beginning to blossom. I'm like, okay, this is just going to be miserable. By about 2 o'clock, I start feeling dizzy. And I'm like, oh, this is a head cold. So that's pretty much been it. Thursday, I went home from work at 2 and I went right to bed and I slept right through until about 10:15, got up, had a snack, watched some finished up Dynamite because I hadn't finished it from Wednesday and back to bed, got up in the morning, said nope to work, and spent the day in and out of consciousness, just like playing some video games. And when I get wee dozy, I'll go down. But like, I think it was just because I hadn't slept for the rest of the week because I feel pretty good. I just sound terrible.
Fair.
But I am rocking some honey tea. So it's honey and hot water, and that is it.
That is unusual for you, particularly at this hour of the night.
No caffeine, though. Honey is a natural has natural detoxifying properties, according to my wife.
Sure,
that's the theory. So that was it. I'm fine. Other than that, I'm good. Greg, how was the tournament last weekend? You guys were busy.
Yeah, we were in fact busy, Brad. We myself and my son. So over the past two weekends, if we go back, what would be 2 weeks from now, 2 weeks previous. So that would have been
the weekend going into March break here in Nova Scotia.
Yeah. So like that Saturday, Sunday, the 9th and 10th, and then on the 15th and 16th, so the Friday, Saturday, between those 4 days, myself and my son did 21 games of timekeeping.
Wow.
So it was a fair amount over those couple of days, which was nice. We got to spend a lot of nice time together. We got to actually check out Denny's, which opened here in the city after being under construction for like 18 years now. I think that thing's been being built.
Or one Roman Reigns entrance.
Yeah, about one Roman Reigns entrance, about how long it's been taking it to be built. So yeah, we actually, I think it opened on like Wednesday the 13th, and we were there Friday morning the 15th because he has like ridiculously early hockey times on Friday mornings, like I don't know, 7 a.m. or something. We're on the ice. And then we had a break because I don't think our first game was until like 10:45. So we ended up having a couple hours. I said, let's go to Denny's. So that's what we ended up doing and checking that place out, which was it was all right. It wasn't anything to write home about for sure, but I've never been to Denny's because whenever I go to the States, I typically stay at a place with free breakfast. So why do I go to Denny's? Right. So,
yeah.
But I mean, I'd go there again, but it's certainly not like an oh my God thing. This is a life changing religious experience for me.
Well, and it's hard because we're in the Maritimes and right. Atlantic Canada, where every little diner has a killer breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah. Killer breakfast, or like they have something that's really kind of special or unique for them. And I mean, we like stuff like that. So yeah.
Yeah. There was a place over on right across from the base for years that had the Holy Trinity of breakfast meats. They did back bacon, sausage, and bologna with three eggs, hash browns, and toast for like $8 or $9. It was like ridiculous. And then there was a place over on the Ardmore Cafe, which does giant pancakes. So we have all those places around here. We have the cafes and the places. So yeah, Greg, it wasn't bad. And then you guys then Oliver played a little bit, and then you had last weekend as well.
Yeah, Oliver played actually in the same tournament, you're absolutely right, during the week, which was different for sure. So we ended up playing Tuesday and Wednesday, so that was fun. And then, yeah, we were back at it that weekend, the Friday, Saturday for stuff. So that was last weekend. That's why, as you were so gracious to cover for me, I was on special assignment because, in reality, I did not get home until I think it was 11:30 on Friday night. So about a half hour after SmackDown went off the air. And I was up and at the arena to open it at 8 o'clock on Sunday and Saturday morning. And then partway through my day, which I don't know if we've talked about, I think I texted to you, partway through the day on Saturday, as we were finishing the way our day worked on Saturdays, we opened an arena at 8:30 and we closed it down at, I think it was 2:30. We had five straight games at that arena. Then we had a couple hour break and then we went back for our last two. I think we were in our fourth or fifth game. I get a text from my wife who tells me that she has been attacked by a cat as she was outside. She had taken our new dog to our friend's house and they were outside with the three dogs. And a neighborhood cat decides to come into their yard, and the girls are trying to save said cat from three dogs. And said cat then attacks both my wife and her friend, and both ended up needing to go to the emergency room. So at first we were hoping we could get like an urgent care clinic or something to see her, but the urgent care clinic turned her away. So both of them ended up in emergency on Saturday, which I assumed was going to take 6 to 8 hours. It actually took more like 6 to 8 minutes. They were in and out extremely fast, like beginning and end, they were out in under an hour. So, which is amazing. It was a beautiful sunny day. So I guess not that many people in emergency. But yeah, so that was our last Saturday. And on Sunday, my wife would not leave the house. She's like, nope, I'm done for this weekend. I will come out on Monday. Don't talk to me until then.
Did she scratch or bite? Was the cat?
The cat was both scratching and biting.
Yeah. So PSA, if you get bit by a cat, go to Emerge.
Yes. She ended up also, as I rightly pointed out to her, she had not had a tetanus shot in over 10 years. So that's one of those reasons why, hey, you've got to go to Emerge, because you need to handle all that stuff. So here we are.
Even without the tetanus shot, cats' fangs have a bit of venom in them.
Yeah.
And it's officially when we decided so this is one of those rare moments where my wife was wrong. She got bit by our cat, which we no longer have because the poor cat went out of its mind. So she got bit. I got bit. She got bit. Nothing happened. I got bit. And she's like, oh, you don't need to go. It's fine. I got the cat bit me once already. I let it go. And it was the last time that WWE was here at the Forum with the New Day. I can remember the New Day coming out. And I had an infected foot that was resting on the seat in front of me because I had let it go 2 days. And I was at my kid's regatta that day. And our friend who's a nurse saw my leg and said, dear God, go to the hospital. She's like, cats have venom in them. And it turned out poor old Charlie had a broken tooth, which made it just worse. So I spent 2 weeks on antibiotics for my trouble. And my wife's like, whoa, wait, it didn't hurt me. I was like, yeah. I was like, because apparently you're Wolverine.
Yeah. So with Steph, they ended up putting her on 5 days of antibiotics. And her friend, they put her on a 7-day course of antibiotics. So because she ended up getting it much worse than my wife. That's where we are.
That's pretty normal for cat bite. And both should be lucky if they didn't have to end up on an IV drip. Because I've seen that. I've had that.
They were you know, there pretty quick. So I mean, it wasn't too bad. So that was kind of nice, right?
Yeah, says the guy who didn't take the antibiotics. There's nothing. That's true. I know you've been on a ton of antibiotics. There's nothing worse for your stomach than the antibiotics.
So honest to God, I don't find antibiotics terribly hard on my stomach.
Okay, get out.
Yeah, like I don't know what it is. And Steph is like the same thing, right? It's but for me, it's I never was like that. Never was a huge option or a huge issue for me.
Yeah, no. I'm just miserable for days. Anyways, I don't even want to think about antibiotics. It's like eat that and the banana, like from our childhood, the banana flavor.
The banana flavored. Yeah.
Okay. So I have a childhood thing and you have a news piece that you want to do.
I do. Special shout out in the news. So yeah.
Okay.
Go do yours first.
Well, mine's very simple.
Okay.
Greg, did you watch a lot of Saturday morning cartoons? Because we're around the same age.
Yeah, I think a little bit. I remember watching some Saturday morning cartoons, but I mean, I more have memories of like TGIF than I do of Saturday morning cartoons. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense to me. But do you know what came out this week?
Is it the Ghostbusters one?
No, not yet. Oh. X-Men 97 came out, which is the continuation of the X-Men's animated series, which was aired on Fox Kids back in the 90s.
Yeah, see, no.
Not your jam?
No, definitely not. And I listened to Boris and Dax talk about it, and boys, yeah, that's not me, so.
Yeah, I agree. I am like them. I think I've watched it because I was sick. So I watched on Wednesday when it came out, watched it again on Wednesday. And then today, both Maddie and James were homesick. So Maddie crawled downstairs at one point and was like, Dad, let's watch X-Men 97. She's like, yeah, I know you've watched it. But I was like, I've watched it twice. She's like, you're watching it for a third time? I'm like, it is that good. So yeah, that is the nerd news. But I mean, you want a full breakdown, talk to Dax and I got a question for Dax and Boris. If they could explain to me next week, how come everything's on Wednesday?
I don't know.
On Wednesday, if you have streaming stuff, so Disney Plus has X-Men 97 and the Star Wars ongoing animated series, The Bad Batch. If you flip over to Prime, you can get Invincible, which is also based on a comic book series and is very bloody and incredibly gory.
Well, I mean, that is right up my alley, says not me.
Well, yeah, but superheroes kind of like The Boys, only done with animated stuff.
What we've been watching here, and it's a series my wife has watched, I have not yet, but I have been thoroughly enjoying, is Dairy Girls from Netflix.
Oh, I've heard good things.
I am laughing my backside off at the nun on the show. She is my favorite character by far, I think, in anything I've ever watched on TV. She says the things that are in my brain, and I love her and her sarcasticness. Yeah, she's my favorite.
So now that we've got all the good news out of the way, I'm going to play the news stinger, Greg, because apparently you've got some bad news.
I've got some bad news. If your eyes were quick tonight, you may have caught this on the air, and maybe you didn't. But what we here at Smack Daddies believe was an injury caused by wearing too nice of a suit, Nick Aldis has ruptured his bicep tendons and had surgery earlier this week on Wednesday to fix said ruptured bicep tendon. So if you caught it, it's his right arm. You can see him in some sort of cast there, or some sort of assisted device there around his wrist. So get well, Nick Aldis. Again, we can only speculate here that one of those suits was tailored a little bit too tight on you and obviously ruptured that tendon. But we have no doubt here that my pick for what is it? What was it? The best?
Was that your best new gimmick or your best?
No, it was best on-screen performers, Nick Aldis's suits.
Yeah, best non-wrestling on-screen performer, I think was the official title. Which is fair, because I think the other one that was in high contention for most people was Paul Heyman, and he was in rare form tonight as well.
Yeah, so get well, Nick Aldis. Get well, Nick Aldis's suits, and you'll be back dazzling us all again real soon. But love WWE for at least continuing to put him out there and doing their best to try to hide it at least a little bit on TV. So
and good for Nick Aldis for making his dates. And hey, dude, he's not wrestling. What a better time to get it fixed than right now.
Yeah. So all right. Guess we should talk about this back then. Hey.
Yeah, we're not going to take very long. Let's pitter patter.
All right.
What episode are we on?
Oh, right. Hold on. I had that up. It's episode 1,283 from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
And Rey Mysterio comes out. And before we really can celebrate the greatness of Rey Mysterio, recap number one. Dude, why are we doing this? So basically, it recaps the feud with an announcer over. Is this better, worse, or about the same when it comes to the way they do recaps now?
I don't even know, because honestly, I fast forwarded through this crap.
So it's a recap, but it has like basically Santos explaining why he snapped and why he did all the awful things to the LWO and Rey Mysterio's return.
Whatever.
So match number one is Rey versus Santos Escobar. And I mean, a couple times early, it just seemed like, was it just me or does Rey seem like he was off a step?
Yeah. Yep. No, I would agree with that. He was definitely, it felt like this one was, he was just a little bit behind where he normally is.
And then all of a sudden he comes sliding across the ring and splashes poor Santos heading into the commercial.
Yep.
Back from commercial. There's a cool camera angle, which I wanted to note, where Rey dives to the outside and the camera's underneath him. So it just really gives the height. And I think we take it for granted how high up those guys are when they're diving. So that was something different. But this match basically comes down to interference from the outside by a masked luchador. Turns out to be Dom. 619 and Phantom Driver combination.
Okay.
So 6-4 for the win.
Okay. Before we continue on here, I got to stop right here, because there was something else I wanted to talk about and I kind of forgot. But when you mentioned Dom, it reminded me. So, Brad, I wasn't here last week, and I think this came up, I think, since you recorded last week, but Bizarro Land, right? Shayna Baszler, WWE superstar Shayna Baszler, going to Bloodsport on Fight Network, like, during WrestleMania weekend. Like, are we living in this Bizarro world?
All because someone asked. And apparently, yeah, they just asked for Shayna And I know why you're bringing it up, because apparently Dom could be there too.
Yeah, so we might get Dom Mysterio on Fight TV or Thriller TV, I think is where it is kind of all kind of flowing through now. But Fight going to be broadcasting Bloodsport, Josh Barnett's Bloodsport X on April 4th at 5 p.m. I'm assuming this is local time.
Yeah.
No, 5 p.m. our time. Sorry. It's 4 o'clock Eastern. So that is going to be interesting. I'm actually looking to try to catch that one because I really kind of want to see that. And then, I mean, since we're already on this, you know me, got a soft spot in my heart for one Danhausen. Mm-hmm. Danhausen this weekend against Matt Cardona tomorrow night. Mm. On Fight. So I am hoping to see that one as well, because I think that is going to be really fun. So I'm looking to see that one.
And I'm a Cardona guy. So, and I've watched a lot of his one-off indie matches. Those guys will have a great match. Yeah. And I think they're two guys who are very underutilized. And
oh, for sure.
So, okay. So,
all right, let's go back to SmackDown, because really I completely threw us off. But
no, it's fine, Greg, because it's maybe Dom's doing double duty, because I think this is leading to our 4-on-4 match. I think
Dom, so too,
because the Legado is short one guy to make a foursome.
Yeah,
and who's available?
I mean,
Dom, and if they're smart, what they do is they actually injure Carlito so they can put in Dragon Lee, because I'm sorry, Carlito has not looked good since he's come back.
No, I mean, that's fair, but yeah, I don't know what we're gonna get, but we'll wait and see. But yeah, it could be interesting.
I think we're gonna get some sort of 4-on-4 match where, I mean, maybe they'll do something very close, like they'll probably do something and get all the guys on there. But what they might do is, I mean, a classic tradition in six-man Lucha Libre, so 3-on-3, is that it's two falls, two out of three falls. Okay? So does that make sense to you, Greg?
Yeah.
You got me so far?
Yeah.
And you can you designate a captain. So yeah,
this is where you're starting to go off on me a little bit, right?
Ray is a captain.
Sure.
And Santos is a captain. And if you pin the captain, it counts as two falls.
And now that's going to get too complicated for
WWE audiences.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and the other option is, do we do team Legado versus team LWO? And if Legado wins, Ray loses his mask and can't put it back on. And if LWO wins, they get to shave Santos.
All those things could happen.
Mask versus hair is pretty classic Mexican strategy.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's or a member from their team, and then you have Dominic like push Santos to the wolves, and it's like, I'm not getting my mullet chopped off.
Yeah, you could go that route too.
So it's great. We could have. I think we're going to get a bunch of guys onto the card this way, which is good, because that's what WrestleMania should be about.
Yeah. Yep. I love that. I love all those ideas, Brad. So let's now, wait and see what we're going to get.
This match, though, this was a storytelling match.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I mean, it served the purpose, but yeah. I don't know. The whole Rey Mysterio return, which happened at the most inopportune time. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so recap number two. Bailey. Hey, it's Bailey. Guess what? She got beat up. That match, that's what you missed, Greg. Bailey got beat up.
Yeah, not the first time.
And Naomi tried to help her, and she's a dum-dum because she came down by herself.
Yeah, that is true, and seems pretty well like I've seen that somewhere before. Oh, wait, I did tonight.
Yes. Well, and of course, they have this scene in the back where they're, and I know it's not quite right here, but they have the scene in the back where Naomi and Bailey are making up, but still Bianca wants nothing to do with Bailey.
Yeah.
And that comes into play later. I mean, how dumb is Bianca? It's like, hey, I hate your stinking guts, but you know what? if I'm getting beat up later, do you mind having my back?
I mean, she should have her back, so yeah.
She definitely should have her back.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, yeah, it, you're right. There's the hole. Is like Bailey should just be doing because Bailey needs to earn some cred.
Yeah.
She's in the hole. She owes everybody paybacks. And she's like that friend who like ran a tab up and owes everybody money. And it's like, oh, wait, you got paid today? I'm going to dodge all of you until I spend this money in my pocket.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with any of that. I wish they, you know, they should have done a Mea Culpa tour with her. So
that people actually wanted to help her.
Yeah.
So match number two of the night, A-Town Down Under versus the OC. Did you listen carefully on commentary, Greg? Because that spoiled this match.
I obviously did not. What did I miss on commentary?
I'm just curious because I know you're not a regular NXT viewer. You are much more of a savvy wrestling viewer than I am.
I don't watch NXT. That makes me savvy.
Well, depending on what version of NXT you're watching.
Fair. If you don't watch any of them, then I guess it makes me super savvy. I don't know.
The OC is currently in the NXT title tournament, which they mentioned on commentary early on in the match.
They did, in fact. You are absolutely right. They did, in fact, mention that.
So the reason why I'm asking, did this tip you off to how this match was going to end? Because it did the moment I saw them on Tuesday in the NXT tournament.
Yeah, pretty well.
So Gallows and Anderson try to hit the Magic Killer, and basically, there's a roll up by A-Town Down Under, and they cheat the win. I can't believe this, but I think Waller and Theory are getting into this match.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right.
There's no way the Street Profits are getting in this match.
I don't know. Yeah, nope. I mean.
Okay,
yeah, we're gonna get, you're right. It's gonna
let's go deep dive into this because I planted a seed for you. I want you to think about it while we go through the next couple. But I want you to make a case for the reason why. I mean, the reason they should be in is the Street Profits are awesome, but
right? That's exactly my point. Is that the Street Profits are awesome and they really deserve to be in that match. But you're absolutely right. What's gonna happen is that we're gonna see the final testament judgment, whatever the hell they're called, and the Street Profits and Daddy Lashley's kids at WrestleMania together. So
a Wayward's version of the Wyatt family / a Wayward's version of the Ministry of Darkness. That's what the Final Testament is. Fair. Like a watered down, they are like the Dark Order when the Dark Order was trying to be all scary.
All right.
So Roman Reigns is on Pat McAfee's show.
Yeah, that's, yep.
And we got a Bron Breakker recap about how awesome he is for recap number three.
Okay. Honest to God truth, I forgot he was on SmackDown.
Well, so did I. And I'm glad they're doing this to remind us he's there. But he's not showing up till he loses those titles. And if I am both him and Baron Corbin, they should come up as a package.
Yeah.
They need more tag teams. And
they're Raw? Good
to SmackDown.
We don't need more tag teams.
Okay, so hear me
out. Now.
So hear me out. There's going to be a split in the tag titles again.
Sure, but I mean, Raw only has like two tag teams. Like everyone got in, I think, to the bloody WrestleMania match because they don't have anyone there.
Right, and Pretty Deadly didn't even make the SmackDown tournament.
Right, so. Yeah, don't get me started. We don't need no more stinking tag teams. Raw does, sure.
We don't need no more stinking tag teams. EO versus Naomi is match number three.
Thank Greg. God. Fast forward to the beginning of this.
Yeah, this match was really good because the two of them both do really cool flippy stuff. And the two of them were on point tonight because Naomi, I find it's either hit or miss with her. I loved her little split legged thing in the corner. I loved her flip to the outside. She had some cool stuff in here. And then the two of them both had like teasing, doing their moonsaults just to have damage control come down and screw her over. 1, 2, 3. And of course, Greg, as we teased early, you know, Bianca has Naomi's back, but Bailey's not going to come help them because there's beef.
Right.
Okay. Maybe this is because we're two dudes talking about women beef. But seriously.
I mean, at least we're not talking about meaty men slapping meat. So
fair enough. So, but I mean, come on now. Let's pretend you and me had beef with, let's say Boris. We love Boris. Oh,
I mean, we do have beef with Boris, but I mean.
Okay. No, don't start that rumor.
Oh, no. Listen, Burkhead's already sent that. Like, that's going to be all over Radio Free Pro Wrestling this week.
Yeah, it's his big, it'll be his headline.
Yeah.
The beef over at SME Radio.
Yeah.
Okay, no, you know what? Let's use Burkhead. You brought him into this conversation. So we have beef with Burkhead.
Right,
but we do. Burkhead's getting his arse kicked over there.
Yeah.
We're going to help him. He may be a pain in the ass, but he's our pain in the ass.
Are we, though?
We should. We're Canadian. We're nice.
I know, but are we actually going to go? I mean, like, I got stuff on. Like, I got stuff to do.
If it's before 9 o'clock.
Okay. All right.
He's providing us with, I don't know. I'm trying to think of something, some snacks, I guess. Maybe gas money.
If the weather's nice too, I mean, if it's cold, like if it's snowing, I mean, we're not, obviously not going. I mean, they don't, like, they had an inch of snow and shut down the place for like a month, right? Like,
right. But Burkhead, on the other hand, I think hopefully would feel the same way and come help us. This is stupid. Like, there's beef. Bailey, go help your friends. You need friends. At the very least, you need somebody else not to be dead so they can not have you be destroyed by damage control.
That's very fair. That's very fair.
She's a dumb.
In all seriousness, though, we love Berkey, so.
And we would have his back. And
We do.
Speaking of people who have a back, it's Jade. And apparently Jade's somewhere, he says, with his hands up.
Another one that I completely forgot was kind of looking at like she was going to be on SmackDown. And hey, now she is.
Is she going to get involved with this EO thing?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe it's me, Bailey, and like this is, it's really bad if it's Bailey and her three African American friends.
Yeah.
Because then all I want to do is sing one of these things is not like the other, one of these things is not the same.
You know that you said that's exactly what's going to happen, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, okay.
So, fun fact, a friend of mine used to play basketball pretty competitively. Yep. And he grew up in the north end of Halifax, where it's predominantly an African Nova Scotian community. So he was the only white kid on an all black basketball team. And then went down to the Valley, which is all predominantly all white. And especially back in the 80s. And that's literally what they chanted at them. One of these things is not like the other. One of these things just isn't the same because the white kid is out there playing with all of his friends who are all from, you know, African descent.
Wow.
I was like, yep. Also, they threw rocks at them.
Rural
Nova Scotia, racism is still alive and well.
Yeah.
So anyways, I got nothing else nice to say. So Kevin Owens comes in and he makes our night. So you're right. This is where we can see Nick Aldis. He's not wearing a nice button-up shirt because Mickey James is not there to button his shirts up for him.
Very fair.
And if my husband was that handsome, I wouldn't be letting nobody else button shirts up for him.
I mean, I definitely wouldn't be allowing anyone to help put on those suits. Like, come on.
Well, and how did we? And you're probably right. He can't put on the suits right now because he probably had to borrow that suit from somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Nick Aldis' suits are tailored so well. Like, there's not going to have any room for that assisted device on his arm.
So Kevin Owens is there and they're chatting. And Kevin Owens is arguing. And in comes Pretty Deadly and points out correctly that they are not in the tournament. And Kevin Owens says, "You're interrupting me." And they're like, "You don't know anything about tag team wrestling." He's like, "I won the tag titles last year. And the last time I was in this building, I punched two guys in the face." And basically this sets up a match where Orton sneaks in behind them, scares them. Orton makes fun of them wearing a jacket that his dad used to wear. And when they go to complain, they call this.
Oh. So when they were making the joke about Orton's father, I first was thinking it was a joke directed at Nick Aldis for the wrists, for the cast, whatever that was on his wrist, until I realized that he was talking about the jacket. But it made me laugh a lot.
Well, in this scene, we had one guy wearing a cast and one guy wearing his dad's jacket.
Yeah.
They split the gimmick between the two of them. But then this ends with the callback where we have Nick Aldis trying to be helpful. Guys, you shouldn't really stand that close to each other. Why? And then Kevin Owens comes in and punches both of them in the face and then says, Randy, I did it! I did it!
Yeah. Kevin Owens and Randy Orton together. Yeah, give me more of that.
I don't want them to win the US title. I want them to become best friends.
Yeah, there's already a gimmick for that, though. Like...
Yeah, Randy Orton already did this with another guy we don't talk about anymore.
No. I was more talking about like that AEW team.
Oh, best friends. I thought we were talking about the RK-Bro.
No. We're talking about that. Who also will be on, as I was looking earlier, coming up soon on Fight.
Wait, and then there's... And he was also rated RKO, was one of his tag teams. And Kevin Owens is a KO, so... He's just RKOKO.
RKOKO?
KOKO.
KOKO, Kobe where?
Go, God, Greg.
All right. Digging low tonight.
Okay, the only good recap segment on this show, which I'm not going to play the sound effect for, was the, well, you know, WWE 24 films all the wrestlers getting ready for WrestleMania. There just happened to be a camera at AJ's house when LA Knight shows up. And attacks, the camera gets knocked down, and then we get a reenactment of Cops.
That was great. Cops in Georgia, in Marietta, Georgia. I think he's Marietta.
Gainesville?
Gainesville. That's where AJ is, or that's where he's billed from.
It doesn't matter. It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, no, it was absolutely great. I love this. I loved all of this.
More of this.
Yeah, like I this is not something you get to see. Do you know what? This harpens me back to the time of. I think about the whole oh my god, he's in NXT now. His dad, he was over in AEW, Varsity Blondes.
This reminds you of when Steve Austin and Brian Pillman had the home
Pillman invasion. Brian Pillman, yeah, the Brian Pillman home invasion type thing. Like, we don't see this very often in wrestling, the going to someone's home, and I'm not talking about, you know, on that other program where you're breaking into a kid's bedroom while they're sleeping at night. We're just going to ignore like that ever happened. But this was great. Loved it.
Well, that's the good guy.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, because our hero today was like, hey, man, I'm not going to break in your kid's bedroom and harass them. I'm just going to honk the horn on your front lawn and make you come out here and face me like a man. And then I'm going to whoop your ass in front of your wife and kids.
Yeah. I have not been to Gainesville, but I've been pretty damn close to that. So I know exactly where that is.
Okay, Greg.
Next time I go to Atlanta, maybe in July.
You need to stop avoiding the fact that we have the Street Profits and AOP coming up. Do you know what the irony of this is? Do you know who the main event of SmackDown was, technically, for the matches?
Oh, was it this?
This was the last match.
All right.
The AOP main event to the SmackDown. Of course, they didn't win. There's a bunch of flippy stuff, and I mean, AOP beat the hell out of them. But the Street Profits basically catch a roll up and win. So this doesn't matter because the Final Testament are going to come out and destroy the Street Profits. I've given you all show to come up with a way, convince me that WWE is going to let the good tag team go have a match and Bobby Lashley can kill Karrion Kross in 36 seconds on a pre-show.
Oh, it's not going to happen. You're absolutely right. Like, I wish I had it, but I don't.
A-Town Down Under is going to take crazy bumps in this ladder match.
Yeah.
I really hope Grayson Waller doesn't break anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's distinctly possible.
The last time he was in a crazy match like this, he was wrestling Yeah, he was wrestling in NXT right before his call up, and he broke a leg.
Oh yeah, that's right. He was stuck coming into the main roster. He couldn't really do it.
Well, he came in, but he did the show because he couldn't. His leg was smashed.
Yeah, he was doing the Grace Waller Effect TV show.
So yeah, this match, Greg, this match was a waste of time. And listen, you will have the right of the scissors, except for one thing.
All right, what's that one thing?
This match has to be cut. It's whether you were going to cut it or not. I'm cutting it. I feel bad because I'm caught up to live during this match. I sat through the commercial for this match. Then I got up and was like, oh, crap. It's 10:30, Greg, and 25% of my show is Roman Reigns and Cody.
So I can't remember if it was during this match or after this match. I actually got up and I had a serious conversation with my wife that I will talk to you about off air. That was very eye-opening, and I came back and this damn thing was still on.
Greg, normally this would have been the point if I was going to have a beer, it would have been here. Not only is it Lent.
You should have.
Yeah, but I friggin' gotta take cold medication before I go to bed.
That's fine. I mean, it just helps you sleep more.
Okay, so anyways, stupid Roman Reigns comes out. He wastes most of this. The worst part is literally Roman comes out. He makes fun of everybody and says, now it's time for Cody to acknowledge me. They show Cody walking in the back. That's the first 10 minutes of our closing segment.
Yeah.
So then Cody comes out. He takes another 8 minutes to get to the ring. It's like quarter two, and they're finally going to talk. Roman talks about, can you actually trust Seth? When you were in trouble this week, he didn't have your back, and he was supposed to be my brother. He was part of the Shield, and he didn't have my back then, and he won't have yours. Cody says, did I not know about what the Shield was? And basically questions bloodline loyalty, saying all of the same stuff he said before, and Roman calls him out for that, calling Cody the politician. But he needs to come up with new promos. And he's honest with him, saying, listen, you're number two. That makes you better than everybody else in this arena, and you're the best number two that there possibly could be. But
I was laughing at this point because we were making poop jokes.
Well, we are also making great jokes about this. And Cody's not wrong. When people look back at this era, people will want to be like Roman, because Roman had the longest title run and almost no defenses. I'd rather be Roman than Bruno. I mean, sure, Bruno had the more title defenses, but Roman's rich and his body's in way better shape than Bruno's was by the time he was done wrestling.
That's very fair. It's very fair. But this segment went off like a fart in church.
And then they were like, had this awkward staring about a handshake. Yeah. And then Roman shook Paul's hand and left. And then we had the bloodline come out from the crowd, circling the ring. And then they line up in the aisleway like they're going to do something. But before they can, Jay and Seth have Cody's back. So the three-on-three face off. And the more this happens, Greg, the more I think my prediction, which, by the way, Eric, you can totally quote the prediction that we talked about on the main show, but give me a little credit. This is something I've been dreaming about now for like 3 months. The end of this show of WrestleMania Night 2 is going to be, and I will give Eric credit, he was the one that added in saying people like Logan Paul. Logan Paul coming out and being on the good guy's side, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, like all of them.
It's going to be all everything.
It should be everybody that's gotten screwed during this run. Everybody that he has a title win over.
Hold on. Didn't we just talk about someone who was screwing over everyone and now has no friends earlier in this podcast?
Yeah. And she didn't do what Cody's done, which is Cody went around and apologized to everybody and made friends.
Yeah.
And because if not, Bailey, you're going to end up like Roman.
Right.
Greg, this went on too long, though.
Oh, my God. I was like, sweet Lord, like... I actually was expecting a text from you to be like, I know it's not over yet, but let's just get started.
I should have pulled. I mean, it's not like CM Punk was coming out. That's Monday. Good luck, Randy. You guys are going to have him there. I think he's the referee for that match, by the way.
Possibly.
All right, Greg. My meds are wearing out. We've got to take this show home. Let's take us to the SmackDown synopsis.
This is your SmackDown synopsis.
Your SmackDown synopsis is brought to you by cold medication. I will be taking some very shortly before I go to bed. Greg, let's go through this, and then we'll talk a little bit about, at the very end, I want you to say whether this show did a good job, no matter how much of it you cut, did this show do its job? Because right now, every show should build up WrestleMania.
Yeah, it should make me want to watch WrestleMania. All right, starting off the top, Santos Escobar and Rey Mysterio. Brad, we're going to cut this thing.
Oh my gosh, no surprise there.
Yeah, I know.
So are you going to keep the bit at the end? Will be the only thing. Do you want to keep the part where we get Dom?
Digital exclusive.
Okay, so we see Dom show up on Twitter. That's a perfectly reasonable thing. Yep. How about the OC on their way back to NXT as they lose the A-Town Down Under?
So let's keep this in, because otherwise I don't know what else is going to be on the show tonight.
Man, that's really saying something.
I know.
Are you going to keep the clip from Roman Reigns on the Pat McAfee show?
Hells no.
How about Io and Naomi?
Nope, not keeping this.
Are we going to keep the beatdown at the end? Showing that Bailey's a bad person?
Nope, not keeping this.
And how about Jade's promo? Because it really wasn't Jade and Braun. We'll put them together.
Nope, cutting all that.
Kevin Owens in the back making funny.
Nick Aldis, Kevin Owens. Yeah, we'll keep that all day long.
Pretty Deadly Randy Orton. Everybody, you guys are the only thing on the show. AJ and LA Knight at home invasion.
Love it.
Oh boy. Well, we already know what this is. AOP and Street Profits are already been cut. Sorry, yep. Street Profits, I love you.
Yes.
And the closing segment, face to face.
I could have done without this. So we're cutting this.
So did this show, despite basically being a couple of angles, do its job?
No, this was meh.
Yeah, it's almost as if we have 1 or 2 weeks. This is a classic WWE booking. We have two weeks too many before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like, if you told me WrestleMania was next weekend and this was the second last show, we'd be better off. But we still have this coming weekend, which is a holiday, Good Friday. Yep. And then we have WrestleMania. So they still have to somehow fill another show. Technically, two more SmackDowns, Greg.
Yeah. And as you and I can talk more offline, I don't know how the heck we're going to look at and figure out that weekend. So,
Greg, you know what's going to happen that weekend? If for some reason you can't join us for the SmackDown review, you are going to miss the Battle Royal.
So there is distinct possibility that I'm actually going to be completely clear on Friday night, and that my problem is going to be Saturday night. We'll wait and see.
You might have to miss WrestleMania, but you get to watch the Andre.
Well, here's the thing. Not the end of the world, because my event would start at 8, so I'd be home by 10, so I could catch up to live.
Oh, dude, if you start before like 11 o'clock, you can probably catch up to live. Do you know how much filler is going to be in that WWE show?
Oh, I know. But we'll talk off air, and we will try to come up with a plan for how we are going to handle things for the next little bit.
Oh, and I already had somebody reach out to me on the socials, but I'm going to tell him, I'm actually going to direct him to you. So Sal Greco sent me a message saying that he is going, that he got tickets for SmackDown coming up when they are in Toronto.
Yes, he was messaging me last night too. I was talking to him. So
all right. So that's actually convenient, because Speaking of weekends, people aren't available. That is my usual youth retreat weekend, which is why Greg might go to Toronto. I am not going to Toronto. I am been sequestered for the weekend.
Well, that's the July 8th weekend?
Yes.
Or sorry, no, that's June. My apologies. I'm looking at
July 8th.
July 5th, sorry.
5th, yeah.
July 5th.
So if you are one of our loyal listeners or a couple of our loyal listeners, slide into Greg's DMs because he might need a co-host for that weekend.
We'll figure out something. That's a long way off, but we'll cover that. Brad, you're sick. Let's wrap this up so you can get some cold meds and go to sleep.
Good night, everybody. We the ones.